with Coach White. Coach White, when I was with Coach White, he was the first to kind of take the seatbelt off and give me responsibility and let me kind of coach, let me be me. He taught me how to get the best out of the kids, even though they're not the best kids.
What's been that standard that's been kind of just set, that precedent that, you know, this is a young program. You know, what's that standard been set to accomplish what you've accomplished so early?
Oh, the standard is execution and perfection and dominance and going 1-0. So the kids and the faculty and the staff understand the philosophy. So it's all around the school what we talk about going 1-0. It ain't just in the football program. It's who we are as a school, as a community. We want to win the day, win everything. And thereby, that's the standard. The standard is coming in and getting my education first, being where I need to be too, knowing my alignment and my assignment, if giving unbelievable effort. Those are the things that this program is built off of.
Every coach is different. Some coaches have their players run track to get conditioned for the season. Is there any kind of, you know, I guess you could say any standards you set out front? Do you think it's important for your kids to run track in the spring so they're more well-prepared when it comes into off-season training and program? Like, is there any, you know, parameters or barometers you set for your kids? How important do you think it is for your kids to constantly be fit, you know, even before they come into the off-season program?
100%. 90% of my team are two-sport athletes. Skill guys run track, and it's mandatory. I have two football coaches that coach track. So we'll have, when come January, we'll have, I know, 50 football players on track. And I have some playing basketball, some playing baseball, and most of my linemen wrestle. So it's a mandatory you do another sport here at Langston Hughes.
Coach, what were some of those things? What did your players say in the offseason that you kind of allowed them to outline coming into this year?
They knew we were getting back. They knew what it took. The majority of the team came back, so they knew what it took for us to get to that point. And so when we got to the season this year, they said, we're going to go 15-0, 1-0 15 times. We're going to dominate each opponent. And in which, in a sense, they dominated every game they played. They set out a set of goals, and they stood to that. The not-so-good teams, they kind of took it to the week like it was a state championship. So if you ask some of them, they played a state championship 15 times this year.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Sports Talk with Nas. Today I'm here with state champion coach from Langston Hughes, Coach Boone Williams. Excited to talk to him today, how he turned around this program and how they're kind of revered as one of the nationally ranked programs, and they're doing a lot of good things. So, Coach, I mean, you won it all this past weekend. Let's start with that. Just how you feeling this morning?
Man, the feeling is – it hasn't hit me yet. I mean, the buzz is going around the school. Everybody's excited. The community's excited. I went to Publix last night, and it was congratulations. So it's a good time. It's good for the community, the players, the coaches, the students, the faculty and staff.
Yes, sir. And let's start with you, Coach, your coaching tree. I remember earlier this season I got to talk to Johnny White. He said you coached under him. And he said he always read about your football mind, your work ethic, how you came in. You know, what were some things you learned from him? And then just early in your coaching career, what were some things that just stood out to you that's kind of allowed you to be where you are today?
Coach Wick, I mean, I started with Coach Kevin Whitley, then I went with Coach White. Coach White, when I was with Coach White, he was the first to kind of take the seatbelt off and give me responsibility and let me kind of coach, let me be me. He taught me how to get the best out of the kids, even though they're not the best kids. So the discipline, you know, all kinds of stuff, man. It's crazy.
And then for you, Coach, you know, did you play when you were in high school? And then where did your – I know you said Coach Willie taught you first, but what is your kind of coaching career? Like, when did you know, like, hey, I want to be a coach? When did that kind of come upon?
As soon as I tore my ACL the second time, when I got to college, I went to Benedict College, I tore my ACL, and I came home, and I knew I wanted to get into coaching. I wanted to be attached to the game. So I came, and Coach Wick gave me an opportunity to coach at Creekside. I was just an assistant coach, and I was able to do that. That's kind of where I got started.
But yeah, Coach, yeah, what advice would you give just young coaches that was in your position, you know, assistant coach? You know, and then they, you know, finally, you know, kind of getting the seatbelt off and then letting you do your thing. letting you put your own philosophy on things. What would you tell young coaches that want to be, you know, where you just got, you know, achieving a state championship?
Be patient. Learn as much as you can learn. Learn both sides of the ball. If the opportunity presents itself, it only makes you a better coach. I think that young coaches should learn from the older guys on your staff you're with. Like me, when I was amongst greatness, I think on that staff, with Coach Witt had seven of eight of those coaches became head coaches at some point. So it's just network and try to meet as many coaches you can do. Load your toolbox up with ideas and stuff from other coaches and just kind of pull and what helps, what works for you as a coach. That's all I did.
Yes, sir. And you got to bring me back to the offseason. Everybody harps on the Buford loss. I'm not going to harp on that. I'm going to harp on, you know, like what you said earlier this year, you guys being at the mountaintop, and you said basically you had your players. Let me make sure I quote it right. I want to make sure I quote this right. You said you had them, you know, say what are some things they wanted to do differently. So, you know, and then you said now you guys are kind of honing on those things. So, Coach, what were some of those things? What did your players say in the offseason that you kind of allowed them to outline coming into this year?
They knew we were getting back. They knew what it took. The majority of the team came back, so they knew what it took for us to get to that point. And so when we got to the season this year, they said, we're going to go 15-0, 1-0 15 times. We're going to dominate each opponent. And in which, in a sense, they dominated every game they played. They set out and set a goal, and they stood to that. The not so good teams, they kind of took it to the week like it was a state championship. So if you ask some of them, they played a state championship 15 times this year.
That's how I go, you know, that's how I go. And you said they buy into the standard of the program, going 1-0 every week, not looking ahead, focusing on the opponent that you got now. So, and you said like one class at a time, and then they learned a lot of things. So just what has been, you kind of just alluded to, but what's been that standard that's been kind of just set, that precedent that, you know, this is a young program. You know, what's that standard been set to accomplish what you've accomplished so early?
Oh, the standard is execution and perfection and dominance and going 1-0. So the kids and the faculty and the staff understand the philosophy. So it's all around the school what we talk about going 1-0. It ain't just in the football program. It's who we are as a school, as a community. We want to win the day, win everything. And thereby, that's the standard. The standard is coming in and getting my education first, being where I need to be too, knowing my alignment and my assignment, if giving unbelievable effort. Those are the things that this program is built off of.
Yes, sir. And let's talk about two games. First, let's go with Douglas County, then we go with Woodward Academy. Douglas County game, Coach, challenged in the first half, 14-3. You blow them out in the second half, 48-3. But that was probably the first game of the season. You was kind of, you know, had some turnovers, and you talked about, you know, the big thing was finishing. You know, what do you think your boys learned from that game to help them the rest of the season?
My Douglas County game was the first game that our kids were kind of – it was a great opponent, region, first region. It was, matter of fact, second region game. It was a second region game, and it was the first opponent that was ranked in the state we faced. So they went into it as a big game. Douglas County had enough players and the coaching staff to kind of beat us, so the kids took it as a challenge. We had turnovers early, but it came in the locker room. They settled down, they relaxed, and we played football the second half. Violent, fast, and physical. You know, that's some of the stuff that we want to play.
Yes, sir. And then let's go to the Woodward Academy game. That game was back and forth. I wasn't at the game, but I heard it was, you know, penalties and things like that, kind of self-inflicted errors. You know, what kind of happened in that one? And then you guys, second half, again, just able to pull away, you got it together, and you guys finished the game, kind of, you know, which is a big thing you kind of harp on. But what happened in that game? How were you guys able to, you know, after you got, you know, kind of, I guess you could say surprised, maybe not surprised, but, you know, back and forth, how were you guys able to pull it out then?
I knew what was going to be a well-coached. Woodward is a well-coached team. There's no other way to describe what those guys do over there. So I knew they would come to play. They got us on a couple of things, and we had a couple, like you said, some penalty-aided drives to kind of put them in scoring position. So coming back out of the second half, we had to settle down. We had to get back to the basics of what we're doing. We were trying to do some stuff it was almost over-coaching, out-coaching ourselves. So we had to kind of just pull back a little bit, focus in, let the kids play faster. And offensively, we had to get into rhythm, move the ball down the field, get third down, get them off the field, offense score. I mean, that's the method of our madness this year.
Yes, sir. And, Coach, we live in kind of a society now. Everything is now, success, success, success. But, you know, you guys start off to a rocky start, 2-8. But then from there, you know, it was 10-plus win seasons for you. Just talk about kind of the administration and kind of the philosophy you were setting forth then and kind of them believing in you, because sometimes you'll see programs, Coach, after a losing season, they'll move on. But they didn't move on. They believed in you. They believed in your message you had. So how cool is that to have a administrator that backs you up and to be able to implement your philosophy to the team and kind of, you know, getting the fruits of that labor, seeing the state title?
My AD is Willie Cannon. He was actually the first coach at Langston Hughes. I'm the second coach. So he is my permanent administration when it comes to football. So anything that's needed with the football, he is ahead of me, right there with me. He kind of give me insight on stuff like that. So anything I need as a football program, Willie Cannon is going to make sure we get. He's been amazing, phenomenal. But back to the 10-win season. I mean, when I was 2-8, I had to self-evaluate myself first. That was my first season as a head coach. I won 2 games. I lost 8. Is this going to work out? You know, but I had to understand. I had to stick to my guns of what I said when I interviewed and when I first had my first coaches meet with my coaches. I had to stick to those things, and I had to get total buy-in from my coaches first, then my players. And once I got that, we started going, hey, one game at a time, nothing else matters. One game at a time, nothing else matters. One game at a time, nothing else matters. We just start preaching it, and it took off, and you'll see the kids just start saying 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. And I honestly don't think that many people were using 1-0 as you see it right now. It's all over the world.
It is.
College football. And I promise that I think that Langston Hughes was one of the first ones to really, really just harp on and just hang their hat on going 1-0 each week. So it started becoming a whole way of life for these kids.
Yes, sir. And let's go back, Coach, to kind of that senior leadership, having kids playing the big game the year before. I think you had 17 seniors this year. How important is that to bring that back, you know, when you're trying to contend for a title? And, you know, how cool was it to see kind of to send your seniors off the right way before college, before they play on the next level?
We happened to be in the same locker room twice we were in last year. So I was able to gauge last year, this year. It was a lot more looser in the locker room. I had kids taking naps. I mean, last year they were like ants. They were so fidgety. They couldn't sit down. And this year you went out, the whole left side of the locker room was asleep. You know what I'm saying? You know, so they were relaxed. And that was a big deal because, hey, we've been here before. We were almost but one before. So here we are again. Let's go just handle. All we got to do is handle what we didn't handle last year.
Yes, sir. Simple as that. And offensively, Coach, I don't know if you knew this, but you guys broke a scoring record in the state championship game. The offense been rolling all season, Coach. So this, what allows them to be so potent? I mean, obviously it starts with the offensive line, the trenches, and then you got so many skilled players. But, I mean, what just allowed them to be, you know, A1, upper echelon all year long offensively, just to be able to break that record?
Because they played together. It was no I. I mean, you got to think, you know, it was, what, 6 receivers with over 500 yards. And, like, nobody was selfish. Everybody ate. And a defense didn't know who the ball was going to go to, but we had so many weapons. We had 2,000-yard backs. We had 1,000-yard receiver. We had 400-500-yard receivers. I mean, the list goes on. Like, offensively, it was so many weapons to do. I mean, we can get the ball in anybody's hands, and they can take it a distance. Or we can sustain a drive. That last drive was a four-minute drive. We had to move off the clock to win that game. So, any part of the offense we can do, we were able to do.
Yes, sir. And I want to hone in on a couple of players. First, I want to start at Prentice Aaron Nolan. I mean, he had as many touchdowns as he had incompletions in that game. I mean, he was just throwing dimes all over the field, hitting his receivers in stride, throwing it in tight windows. We know he's a 4-star player. He is big time. Just, you know, what growth have you seen from him when you first started, Coach? I think you got him maybe as a freshman, maybe as a sophomore, but what growth did you see from him kind of start early in his career to where he is at now? What did he do to put himself in that position?
He took the tutelage of his coach. His quarterback coach in OC, Andrico Hines, did an amazing job. I mean, phenomenal job with him as far as his growth. And Prentice has matured as a person between his freshman, sophomore, and junior year. He understands that the nuances of the ins and outs of the game. He understands that the wins and losses rally on him. He understands that drives are sustained when he gets in the rhythm. He understands what it takes for us to win. So it's so many things and that he's done as a person to better himself off the field to help with his on the field play.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm gonna move to defense. I'm gonna talk about Gannon Westerby. He was all over the field state championship night against Gainesville. 8 tackles, I believe, 2 assisted ones. Just, you know, his tape is outstanding. I mean, he's just always flying to the ball. He lays the hammer down. Just, you know, how cool is it to coach a kid like that that's just relentless, always pursuing to the ball, gives, you know, just 100% effort.
Hey, Gannon is a martial art black belt. Nobody, wow. Many people don't know that. So he's no. he's like an old school kamikaze. Like, he loves the contact. He loves the thrill of a collision. He is one of the smartest kids when it comes to reading keys and to understand. He understands when he can go, when he needs to drop. He doesn't miss a lot of tackles. He's all over the field, sideline to sideline. He plays safety and strong safety. I mean, he does a lot. And he's a kamikaze. I mean, he's not – you don't have many of those on your football teams anymore.
No, you don't. Wow. That's a great tidbit I just learned about him. Interesting. And Coach, let's move right back to the offense. Let's go to just a couple more players. I want to talk about Jaquel Meadowbrooks this season, as you mentioned, you know, 2,000-yard rusher. What did he mean to this team? We've seen some games he just went off playoff time. You know, maybe the offense, you know, he could have been struggling, but he just went off with rushing the football, had, you know, multiple touchdown games. Just what allows him to be so great, Coach, and dynamic when he gets the ball in his hands?
Jaquel is a great kid. I often tell my kids, football gods, believe in football gods. Jaquel is one that he does everything the right way. He's always here early. He's the last one to leave. In the cafeteria, he'll help clean up, help the custodial staff without being told. He does so much of the little stuff away from the game right that the game owes him in a sense. And he plays like it on Friday nights. I mean, he is one of the most humble kids I've ever met in my life. I had the pleasure of coaching. He just has a knack for scoring. We only really gave him the ball starting after like game 7, honestly. And he has 1,400 yards rushing.
Wow.
That's what, 3 and then 5? That's like 8 games real if you really running the ball. And he's 1,400 yards on 100 and something carries. And I think like 22 touchdowns. That's crazy.
That is insane. That is insane. Yes, sir. And one more question with the offense, just Jaden Barnes. I mean, you know, I think in the state championship, 8 catches, 162, a touchdown. You know, same thing with him. He was a great deep ball threat all season for you. Could take the ball, you know, a short hitch route or anything and take it to the crib. So just what impact did he have this season? How cool was it to have him as another playmaker to already really great offense?
Jaden is a kid that is very, very quiet. I mean, he's quiet, but when his play, it explodes and he explodes. I mean, he has the ability to, like you said, take any ball the distance. He's a 10-8 guy, 100 meter. So he is not many times that he's going to get caught. His turnover is explosive. I mean, his turnover is crazy. His twitch is amazing. So swinging the ball in his hand, man, it's almost like, hey, get your PAT ready because he's going to score.
Yes, sir. And Coach, how are you doing from a – just going back to the Gainesville game, how are you doing from a physical standpoint? I've seen a couple of players went out, Ja'Kai Martin, a couple of – I think one of your defensive tackles went out. How are they feeling now physically after the game? I think it was Friday. It's Monday now. How are they feeling after? Was there any major injuries, anything like that?
Not that I know of. I think DeMarcus Brown, number 57, he had a lower leg injury. I'm not sure of the extent of the injury right now. Ja'Kai Martin was a product of friendly fire. Terrence kind of hit him. He had a mild concussion. So he was out the rest of the remainder of the game. Other than that, I think we got away pretty healthy. I mean, I think the major, in a sense, present is DeMarcus Brown's lower leg injury.
Gotcha. Okay, Coach. And then from that game, this is going back to Gainesville, you know, a 35-28 victory. You know, what's out to you now, one coach? You know, they just kept – seemed like they kept coming, but your offense, they had no answers. I mean, offense, whenever Something happened defensively that could score. The offense went right down the field and scored. So what just stood out to you in that game, Coach?
Relentlessness. I think the kids, what they talked about, you saw, we're not going to lose. Games became scored. Nobody was down. We can go score again. We're going to make a play. We're going to make a play. The same, when I tell you, you couldn't pull the ring from them kids, from my kids. You couldn't pull it away from them. They had it. When we came out of Woodward and did what we did the second half, nobody could have beat us. Nobody.
Straight like that. Y'all wanted it. I mean, we've seen it all year long.
The kids wanted it, too. Yep. I had some players, when they were getting their bags off the bus going to the locker room before the game, they were in tears. Some kids had never showed emotion. They were crying on the way to the locker room as soon as we got there. So when I tell you the kids weren't going to let us lose that game. They were going to find a way. If you watch me on the TV, I was never worried, not one time.
No, you weren't. I mean, you just looked even keel. You looked calm, cool.
I knew my kids. I knew they were going to find a way to win. Regardless, they were going to make a play.
Yes, sir. And we've seen that. And, Coach, I want to talk about this. So you win the state title going into next season. Obviously, I know you don't want to look, you know, too ahead. Obviously, enjoy this moment. But what are some things you're just going to implement to – because obviously you'll have, some new players next year. What are you going to tell them after winning the state title? Hey, you know, obviously, let's not get complacent. Let's do these. What are some things you're going to outline for them to, hey, we need to get back. We are setting a standard, which you've already said, but we expect to be here every year. What are you setting for them?
Just like we did last year coming into this year. That first day we talked about it, and that was all we talked about. So after the first day, we were going to say, hey, we were state champs. Yeah, but that was last year. We understood what it took to get there. And that's, are we going to do the same thing to get it back? And that's my challenge to them. What are we going to have championship behavior starting day one? And that's all it takes. It's not a lot of talk about the state championship because those kids earned it. This new team starting next year hadn't earned it yet. You got to earn it. You want to get it to be talked about. The last two teams before you have finished in the game 15. What are you going to do?
Simple as that. And then, Coach, you know, from your standpoint, every coach is different. Some coaches have their players run track to get conditioned for the season. Is there any kind of, you know, I guess you could say any standards you set out front? Do you think it's important for your kids to run track in the spring so they're more well-prepared when it comes into off-season training and program? Like, is there any, you know, parameters or barometers you set for your kids? How important do you think it is for your kids to constantly be fit, you know, even before they come into the off-season program?
100%. 90% of my team are two-sport athletes. All my skill guys run track, and it's mandatory. I have two football coaches that coach track. So we'll have, when come January, we'll have, I know 50 football players on track. And I have some playing basketball, some playing baseball, and most of my linemen wrestle. So it's a mandatory you do another sport here at Langston Hughes.
Wow. And Coach, real quick, I want to just hit on track really quick. I heard, you know, some players have said, like, it helps you kind of have those longer, like, obviously you got the burst, but it helps you kind of sustain that top-end speed for a longer period of time. You know, obviously you got the two coaches that do it, but, you know, do they kind of say the same thing to you when they talk to you? Is it true that, you know, track, like, it kind of helps them sustain? So, like, let's say, if, you know, for example, a Jaquel Meadowbrooks or a Jaden Barnes, they catch a, you know, a route, they're at the top-end speed, but sometimes the players, they'll lose that top-end speed later down because they're tired. Is it true that the track kind of helps you condition where you can kind of keep the top end speed for longer?
Yeah, it definitely does because kind of with most track programs, you start with long distance first. Your first day out, you're running 800s, 1600s. You're breaking your way down until you're going to 100 meters. So track ends around May. Football starts around May. So you're running for 4 months going into football season. So all your endurance, you should pick up and build on when you're doing go from track to summer conditioning.
Sure.
That's how it's work hand to hand. That's why it's a mandatory here.
Hey, that's why we see the difference, man. When you get the ball in your hands, you're able to make big plays. But I want to talk just a couple more questions about next year. One, Coach, you know, will your team, you know, participate in any 7-on-7s? Anything you kind of outline, obviously the mandatory for playing another sport, but anything you're going to outline in the summer that your players need to do as far as, you know, 7-on-7s or any programs you put in place? I know every coach is different.
We do June is our travel month over the summer. That's when we do our 707. We usually do UGA, Georgia Tech. A couple, we'll go throw a couple schools, and then we'll do our contact camps in June. In July, we focus only on Langston Hughes. We don't really go out. We start really focusing on doing everything with us, just getting us ready for the season, because the season starts that last week in July. So you got the first week you're off. So you only got 2 weeks. So June is our travel month. But for the most part, July, we're locked in here at Langston Hughes.
Yes, sir. And Coach, was there have you already made your schedule for next season? And then if you have, the second question to that, you know, is there any teams that you're playing, I guess, you know, nationally? What are some kind of that non-reason schedule that you kind of outline? I know that's really important as far as getting your team right.
Because when we did our schedule, we did a 2 year deal. So our national games, I mean, everybody's calling trying to get us a national game. But the thing is, I got to be able to get out of my contracts. I don't know how that works. But I do have a Freedom Bowl. I'll play a national team in that for sure at Milton again next year. So that's one national game we'll play. And then I have – because I only have two out-of-region games. So I got to see if I can either move around a little bit stuff and see what I need to do to get those.
Got you. And let me ask you this, Coach. You know, I don't know if you know. You probably do. But every year there's a guy called National Championship. Last year, Collins Hill played in it. You know, it's an invite thing, but, you know, just to ask you, Coach, if you guys were invited, would you go, you know, participate with your team or, you know, state championship, that's it, we're done. You know, what do you think about that and kind of the honor it is to, you know, potentially playing that?
I mean, it's an amazing honor to even be selected for it. I think we were in talks with it, but I don't know if it's going to happen this year because I think Geico went from two games to one game. I think they have the two teams for it this year. So, I mean, that's all. I mean, we can sit and wait. If we're given the opportunity, we would go and just put us on display. But if not, I mean, hey, listen, we'll take 15-0, state champs, first time school history, and ride off into the sunset.
Yes, sir. All right, Coach, a couple more questions before I let you get out of here. Another one, Coach, just, you know, how cool is it to be kind of recognized again, you know, just nationally? Just a young program, only, I think, 13, 14 years in the making. But now, you know, you're getting, you know, repped in Max Preps. I think the other one is Cal Preps. Like, they're putting you up there as one, like, the best teams in Georgia. How cool is that to see kind of all that work, all that blood, sweat, and tears that you had to put in to kind of just be, you know, where you are just nationally so early in, you know, a kind of a program?
It's a major accomplishment. I think that the state, the world, the nation is starting to notice who Langston Hughes is. We already knew what kind of kids and the caliber of kids and the level of coaching we had here. It was just put on the grand scheme. I mean, we're able to compete with anybody in the country. I think we can compete with anybody in the country. I think that we have some young guys that can really make plays, and we're going to continue to be where we are, you know, playing at a high level. I think the standard is already set, and I definitely think that the kids are reaping the benefits of what they put into
it. Yes, sir. And – Coach, how important do you think is a non-region schedule? I know you said you only got two. Have to see kind of what happens. But I don't know if you're familiar with Cedar Grove program at 3A, but they played a bunch of tough non-region teams. They're kind of a middle-of-the-pack, you know, kind of in size kind of a team. You know, they play Colquitt, they play Mill Creek, they play Collins Hill. How important, Coach, do you think it is to play a tough non-region schedule, you know, for your team so you can find out your strengths and your weaknesses and kind of hone in on that?
It's very important because you want to know what you got. And quite frank, my team was a challenge until the third round of the playoff. We played Woodward. But a team like Cedar Grove, they were challenged, and they're not rescheduled throughout the season. So this team, this group of seniors that I just graduated, they have only been down or tied twice in 3 years at halftime. So I didn't know until – when we came out of Woodward, I didn't know what it was going to look like or be like coming out of half. So that was our first challenge.
Right. So I believe that. All right, Coach, two more questions. One, were you able to see the kind of controversial play that happened with Cedar Grove that's kind of went national?
Yeah.
Just real quick, you know, what do you think about that, Coach? I mean, I think it needs to be implemented, especially on the state championship level. If it's not in every high school game, okay, state championship level, you got to have some instant replay. But just what's your thoughts on it? What did you think, Coach?
That I think that is a very controversial call. I think that I mean, I don't have any many words on that situation. It's unfortunate that the it wasn't called correctly. I'll just say that. I don't know what Georgia High School could do, but I just know that was a very controversial call, and it's getting national publicity.
Yeah, I think it's going to force their hand. I mean, it's national publicity. I mean, they have the technology in place. I said it. I'm going to say it today on our show. I mean, you got a rules expert on hand. I don't know how you don't have, you know, instant replay available. That doesn't make sense to me. But, yeah, that was very controversial. That sucks to lose that kind of way. But
yeah,
we'll leave it.
No question.
Yes, sir. We'll leave it there. Final question, Coach. You know, what are you excited about, Coach, just going into the next year with your group? Obviously, you know, a lot of seniors graduated, but you're going to bring in some new guys. New guys going to get it, to be able to get their taste of the action, skill players, you know, all over the field. What are you most excited about and kind of just looking forward a little bit to the group next year?
Growth. I always like to look at growth to see how my players grow. I want to see how the team grows. We have a tracker for our freshmen. See how big, how much did they gain in the offseason? How many strides did they make? You know, that kind of stuff. That's what I love. I love to see the growth in my players and the program. I mean, you're only good as your younger groups, your ninth and 10th graders, your JV and ninth grade, you know. So just growth. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yes, sir. Well, I want to say thanks so much, Coach, for joining. I definitely want to have you on, you know, probably next season, a little preseason, kind of find out more about your team, the players that you're bringing in this year, who we should watch out for. And you know, things like that. But congrats, Coach. I'm, you know, super happy for you that you guys won. I mean, you guys balled all season long, and you know, whatever you got going over there at Langston Hughes, you're doing the right thing, and y'all are setting it forward with the administration, and you know, kind of going 1-0 and all the things you set out. Just, you know, it comes with not just the football, but also the classroom. And really, the thing that stood out to this interview with me was just the education. I think sometimes I get lost, but that's really important because you know, football takes you far. But you also want to have something you can lean on just in case it don't work out. So just want to commend you, Coach, and I'm glad to have you on the show today.
All right. Thank you so much.